To hear the word read and proclaimed, let us take a few moments of silence. Moments of silence to shut out all those outside distractions that can make. First scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that God has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. For God said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior. In all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but God's presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. For the word in scripture, for the word in
this morning, we continue on with our sermon series. This is the final one, Advent through the eyes of, and today, of course, it is the wise men. And I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Listen now for God's word to and for us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who is born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all of the chiefs, priests, and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least of the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? Or perhaps a better question is, did you give everything that you wanted for gift for Christmas? I'm still waiting for an Amazon gift to be delivered to our home so that I can give it. I hope that you are better than I am. I hope that you order your gifts in plenty of time. And, you know, I have the challenge of having two daughters to buy for, and they're grown and their tastes are changing all the time. And not only that, but four nephews and four nieces. And I can never remember who likes what brand and who is what size and whose favorite color is whose. It can all be very confusing and a little overwhelming, especially when you're a pastor and you have other things that are on your mind. We could, if we wanted to, blame the wise men, otherwise known as the three kings sometimes known as the magi, for all this present giving frenzy. After all, they were the ones who started the tradition way before Saint Nick. I wonder, though, if the wise men had any difficulty trying to figure out what presents to give to Jesus. Here is one cartoonist idea of how that might have gone down. Okay, chuckle, chuckle. You know, after all, they weren't Jewish. How in the world would they have known what to bring the king of the Jews? They were, as I said in the children's message, Zoroastrian priests. The gifts they brought probably were representative of the Zoroastrian model. Good thoughts, good words, good deeds. They were members of a highly prestigious profession that combined both science and religion. In Greek, the original language, as I mentioned before, of most of the New Testament, they are also called magi, and that's derived from the same, from we get our word mathematics and magic, and they were astrologers who, again, looked to the night sky for clues of the births and the deaths of great men. Zoroastrian priests were very educated, and they were serious about their faith. They were sent out as missionaries, and they were sent out to find these. They believed that there would be three saviors of the world, and they were sent out to find them, and they were also sent out to teach other people about Zoroastrianism. When they spotted the brilliance of the Star of Bethlehem, they were filled with the hope that it would lead them to an event that would change the world. And as we know, it truly did change the world. They were right. So they set out from their homes in what is today modern Afghanistan, and they headed for the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, they traveled some 2,400 miles. If they had taken a car, which we knew they couldn't have done in that time, it would have taken them 46 hours. They probably went by camelback, and if they did that, barring no complications or no slowdowns or delays, it would have taken them 3 months to go from their home all the way to Jerusalem. When they got there, they asked the question, "Where is the child that has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star rising, and we have come to pay him homage." That sent Herod into a tailspin. It frightened him, and he didn't know, and so he had to contact and get in touch with the scribes and the Pharisees, who looked to their Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, and they found a scripture that said that it would happen in Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem is only 4.5 miles west of the holy city. And so they shared Bethlehem, and the wise men, magi, whatever you want to call them, Zoroastrian priests, set out. And when they got there, they saw that the star stopped and rested over Bethlehem, and they were overjoyed. Their quest had brought them into the presence of God's only Son, the Messiah of the world, the love of God for humankind in the flesh. God's love made known to us in Christ is the greatest gift of all for all. Although the world is desperately in need of this love, so many do not recognize it and so many do not understand it. Wars still ravage God's people on earth. Every day in the news, we learn more and more about the suffering of the people of Ukraine, those who have died, those who have been hurt, those who have lost loved ones. We watch in horror as those who are desperate to flee the tyranny of their own homelands cross our borders in seeking a better life, only to be used as political pawns, as taxpayer money is used not to aid them, but to make political statements. We live in a world, you know, where there is enough food for everyone, but where an estimated 25,000 people every single day worldwide die of hunger or hunger-related causes. Closer to home, there are more deaths from gun violence in the United States than any other country in the world except Brazil. As Jackie DeShannon sang in 1965, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone." God has shown us through Christ's teaching and preaching and healing what love looks like, and has clearly told us that we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. In chapter 13 of Corinthians, known as the love chapter, Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. If I give away all my, and now faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is love." Is love. Although this passage is most often read at weddings, Paul didn't write it to a couple who were in love. Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church that had all kinds of problems and tried to get them back on course. Although this church, this is often more read at weddings than in church, this is God's idea for the church, for creating and establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God is establishing a kingdom of light, of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. And that kingdom is for all people. So it shouldn't surprise us too much that God includes foreigners like Zoroastrian priests, who were definitely outsiders, to come and be some of the first witnesses to the birth of the Christ child. It seems that God works through all of us and delights in including others who other people believe are from the wrong side of the tracks. Like Abram, who came from the land of Ur. He wasn't a Jew, of course. He worshiped many gods, but God gave him a new name and a new identity, and he became the patriarch for three major world religions. God used Ruth, who was a Moabite, and Moabites were despised by the Jewish people because of their shameful heritage, but she married Boaz, and they had a son named Obed. And he became the father to David, who was the shepherd boy, who eventually became the greatest king in Israel's history. Rahab, of course, was included in God's plan of redemption for the world. She was the prostitute who hung out the crimson cord in the wall of Jericho, saving her family. And she was the great-great-grandmother of King David, from whose lineage Jesus came. You get the picture. God includes all people because God's love and saving grace is for all people. God used Cyrus of Persia, who issued the Edict of Toleration in 539 BC that allowed the Jews to go home from Babylon and to reestablish the temple and their way of life. Isaiah 56 speaks of God blessing all the nations. In this scripture, God gathers the outcasts and even the animals. I just love that part. He gathers them all, he or she gathers them all to a banquet. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, so they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Just as God drew the Zoroastrian priests, who were the first outsiders to the manger using the Star of Bethlehem, the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to work through the church to reflect the inclusive love of Christ to all who do not know that love or who may have forgotten that love. Perhaps you watched CBS Kindness 101 with Steve Hartman. We watched it, I think, yesterday or the day before. It featured a story about a young woman who was seriously ill when she was a teenager, and she was hospitalized for a long time. And she said there was one thing that really made her feel better, at least for a time, and that was when a hairdresser came in and washed her hair and dried it and cut it and styled it, and she never forgot that. So in time, she did get better. And when it was time for her to choose a profession, she became a beautician. And the shop that she opened, she had this dream that she would put every chair in there that her customers would sit in, her future customers, it had to be red. So one day she was thinking outside of the box, and she took one of those red chairs and she picked it up after the shop was closed, and she carried it to her SUV and put it in the back. Then she drove to a different section of town, and she put the chair outside, and she started cutting the hair of homeless people. Well, the idea got some traction and caught on, and so many other beauticians in the area, not in that shop, but from different shops and all across the country now, have this red chair ministry where they go out and where people who are invisible to most people and nobody wants to touch are touched and loved and made to feel human and beloved again. God calls each of us to find ways to do, not cut hair, because I certainly couldn't do that. Ask Kevin, I tried to cut his hair a couple times during the pandemic and he didn't like that. But we all have different gifts, and it's whatever we have at our disposal. Something as simple as going out, not for me, but cutting hair to somebody who knows how to do that, to make the love of God tangible. The final inclusion of all nations in God's saving plan is not to be left to the end of time. And it's not reserved solely for the angels and for God. It's the church's work. The incarnation is more than a one-time event trapped in history. Christmas and every day is about receiving and then sharing the love of Jesus Christ, which is meant for the whole world. It's the gift that fits every person of every race, every ethnicity, of gender, political affiliation, sexual orientation, and age. The wise men were drawn to the love of Christ by the Star of Bethlehem. Each time we, like shooting stars, reflect God's love in our own ways, in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds, Christ's love is born again. Amen. At this time, remember that all are invited to a time of fellowship immediately following today's worship service. And now receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with courage and love and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.